Good morning. This guest speaker, his name is Sean Milton. Sean, you can go ahead and come up here. He's a tall, black Jamaican man who can hardly speak any English. I'm just kidding. But, I had met Sean at YWAM, Youth of the Mission, in St. Vincent in the Grenadines, and he was my one-on-one leader, and I'd say we really connected because we both went to culinary school prior to before I went with YWAM. And Sean was also my one-on-one leader. He's someone that I connected with on a weekly basis. He would question me on what I learned during the week, always asked, you know, how's your heart? How are you doing? How are you processing? And really meant a lot to me. He's always been a great friend. So say it was probably been 3 or 4 years ago that we met, and we've stayed connected pretty much since then. Oh, yeah, and if you guys could give him a standard Gateway Fellowship welcome.
Thank you, thank you. I am on. So 2 weeks ago, I was teaching in a camp, and this guy was recording, but when he was testing my mic, I was standing right next to the camera, so he saw the meter's going up and down. He's like, oh yeah, you're on. Just to know the first half of the teaching, I took the mic off to give it back to him. I'm like, there's no light on this thing. Should there be a light? He's like, yeah. And look, it was off. So my first thing is to check if I'm on. It's really, really beautiful to be back here. I was just going to play a prank. I was just going to start speaking in Patois. But I forgot I was going to do a prank, and now you're seeing I speak English. Snap. I really wanted to start in Patois. Let us start again, and then I start in Patois, and then people are going to be like, what? All right, so, Wagwan, everybody. Wagwan. That's what's happening. How are you guys doing in Jamaican? I'm from Jamaica, by the way, Central Jamaica. So I don't speak the real bad patois or broken English. All right? So this morning I'd like to share with you on biblical peacemaking. Right? If you don't understand what I say, then you just raise your hand and I'll repeat possibly so that you'll understand. Because I want you to understand, right? All right, so let us pray. So, Lord, this morning we just ask that your Holy Spirit will truly lead, guide, and direct my thoughts. And yeah, Lord, help us to have an open heart this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so one of the things that I'd like to ask is how is it that we as a church shows God love through biblical peacemaking, or to peacemaking, period. You know, sometimes when we talk about conflicts, probably 90% of everyone inside here will say, oh, conflicts, it's just wrong, it's negative, there can't be a positive that ever comes out of conflicts, right? But if we look at it from a biblical perspective, or from a Bible view, then there's a lot of good that can come as a result of us being able to go and resolve a conflict. And this morning, that's what I want to share with you about. How do you allow your faith to be at work in a conflict, right? So I hope this will really bless your heart this morning. So first and foremost, I'd like to define what exactly is conflict. Personally for me, conflict might mean different stuff to everyone inside here, but personally for me, I see conflict as being two opposing thoughts clashing together, right? Yes. I want to drive in the blue car, but you want to drive in the red car because that's what you drive all week and you are comfortable driving that car anyway, so... But I'm like, I really love the blue car. It's a Honda. Love it. The seats are soft. Can we just do the blue car, please. No, the red car is what I want. And all of a sudden, we start yelling and we start saying, oh, I didn't like your shoes anyway. Like, how did my shoes get into this? Like, we're talking about a car, which car to take? You know, and you, all of a sudden, it's like, you know what? You drive the blue car, I'll drive the red car, and we'll go our separate ways until we get where we're going. And when we get where we're going, we're not going to sit at the same table because I'm mad at you. Right? So we see that conflicts arise as a matter of, you know, we're clashing, right? And sometimes what happens in a conflict is that someone always wants to trump. And that's where the real problem comes in. When you're pushing away the friendship, you're pushing away the value of the person standing in front of you, and you're trying to win this one. When you look past a person, you're like, this is not God's creation anymore. This is now a battle that I need to win. That's when there no good comes out of conflict. Right? So I'd like to ask you, I want you to be thinking about this. How can I glorify God in a conflict? Think about it. How can I glorify God in a conflict? It's a very important question. How do I show my faith to someone who is not saved in a conflict? Do I simply walk away and ignore whatever is happening and think that my Christian character of walking away is going to lead that person to Christ? Or do I go and confront? And let me see how many persons like to confront. Thanks for the hands. Put your hands down now. So not a whole lot of us likes to confront. And that is because we look on confrontation as being very bad as well. You know? So we see confrontation as going and listing out the person's sin. And say, you do me this, this, and this, and this, and this, and you need to apologize. But this morning, I hope that will kind of change with the material that I present. All right, so when dealing with conflicts, what I want you to remember four things. It is four G's, actually. So one, in a conflict, you want to glorify God. The next G is to get the log out of your eye. And then the third G is gently restore. And my number four G would go and be reconciled. Are you got those? So glorify God, get the log out of your own eyes, gently restore, go and be reconciled. All right, so let's roll up our sleeves for those who have longer sleeves. And for those who have short sleeves like me, just roll it up once so we can get our hands dirty and not our clothes, all right? That was a joke. Thank you, that's better. All right, so 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Right? So we want in a conflict to always, first and foremost, keep it right at the top of your head. We want to glorify God. Conflicts always provide an opportunity to glorify God. That is, to bring him praise and honor by showing who he is, what he is like, and what he is doing. As you seek to glorify God in a conflict, you must first, number one, trust God and not yourself. Trust God enough that he will allow you to show his grace in the conflict. Right? The second one is obey God. Right? Do what God commands. John 15:18. Our obedience also demonstrates that he is worthy of our deepest love and devotion. So, so many times there's a conflict happening and my feelings are like, start yell, start shout, start kick something and intimidate the person so that they know that you're the man and you're going to win this one. You know? But that's not what the Bible commands of me. The Bible doesn't say that I should go and be aggressive and go for a choppy or go for a machete and try to intimidate the person, right? The Bible calls for me to actually go and gently restore that person. So in the midst of conflict, very hard thing to do for me, even as I teach this, is actually to obey what God is saying. You know that war that Paul talks about? I want to do this, and I know that this is what I should be doing, but you know what? The flesh inside of me is just saying, no, go the other way, pull the other side. So, the second under glorifying God is that we want to obey God's word. We want to honor the Lord in a conflict. The next one is that we're going to try to imitate God. Right? When we live out the gospel in our lives and mirror Jesus' humility, mercy, forgiveness, and loving correction, we surprise the world and give concrete evidence of the Lord's power in our lives. So if I'm truly living for Christ, when somebody sees how I respond to a rumor that is being spread, or somebody who probably hurt me with their words, when they see how I respond with grace, mercy, and truth, then that will pull them to the salt that I have to offer. Right? And I like to use the lady at the well. Jesus could have simply shut her down. Jesus knew exactly who she was and what she was all about. And he could have simply just shut her down, but instead he spoke grace to her. And as a result, at the end of that conversation, she ran into the town evangelizing, say, come, see this man. Right? And as people start seeing Jesus through your lifestyle, and they're going to be like, oh, Pastor Tim, you're awesome. You're like, oh, dude, get up, man. It's not me. It's the big man upstairs that you need to praise, you know? Because he's the one showing me these principles of how to resolve these conflicts. So my fourth point in glorifying God is direct the persons back to God. It's not about you. In your Christian living, it's about the Lord. It's about what God is doing inside here that you're showing outside. All right? Moving down to my second G, which is get the log out of your eyes. We all know this famous verse in Matthew 7, 3 to 5, where it says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eyes, and hold on, I'm lost in my reading, and look at the plank in your own eyes? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eyes, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. And a lot of the times, and Genesis is my favorite book, Genesis and Romans. There's a truth that Satan did tell Eve. He says to her, you will be like God, knowing the good and the evil. And that has come down into our society today, where when there's a conflict happening, we are professionals at telling the other person where they have gone wrong. And all of a sudden, I can say to Brian, you did this first, you did that, and last year you did the same thing, and yet, and I can get the speck out of his eyes when I have two big light poles That's how you call them here? I have two big light poles in my eyes, and I'm trying to pick the speck out of his because I know I have his list of things that he did from last year, the year before. I have his records. You know? But in the scripture, we're seeing that in order for us to truly resolve a conflict, we must resolve it from inside first. We need to see exactly where is it that we have gone wrong. Yes, the other person might have been wrong. Totally stepped on my toe. Totally tell him that, oh, my toe is fractured. I'm feeling some pain, and the person come and step on my toe, and I'm like, and I start cussing and behaving all bad. But how can I get the log out of my eyes in a conflict? And sometimes we don't even stop at this because guess what? Because we have become judges of everybody else and we know everybody else's thing, we start right there. And that is not what God wants of us. God wants us to constantly show his grace even to those who are our brothers and sisters in the faith. Because sometimes we all fall out of line. True? And when we have somebody that can bring us back into grace gracefully, it makes coming back to grace a bit better. You know, when Jesus found that one sheep that has strayed, the scripture did not record that he took his staff and beat it and say, "Why did you go to the flock? What a..." He celebrated. Is the scripture making sense this morning? I want to put as much scriptures in this so you walk away with a good understanding of what biblical peacemaking is all about. So, I'm going to... One challenge here. Even for those who have conflicts right now, and it's probably boiling up on the inside because this person is doing it over and over again, what I'm going to ask you to do is to get the log out of your own eyes first. How have you responded incorrectly to what is happening? Is your heart motives, are they still in check with the scripture? Are you choosing to obey Christ? I once had a friend, and she knew how to pick a good fight. And every time we would talk, she would just say something that really drives me up the wall and stuff like that. And one night it went to the point of us hanging up. I'm like, you know what? I can't talk to you anymore. Good night. Hung up the phone. But when I hung the phone up, even though I didn't say anything nasty back to her, my heart, oh my gosh, man, my heart stabbed her like 20 million times during what she was saying. And I'm like, after I hung up, I'm like, I sat at my computer and I'm like, God, please forgive me. And I had to call her right back. And I'm like, I am sorry about what happened a while ago. Some stuff was said, and trust me, even though I didn't say anything verbally to you, my heart really killed you. And I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? Yes. Amen. And she all of a sudden was like, no, it's not your fault. It's I who started it. And I'm like, I am not asking who started it, but my own heart wasn't right. It wasn't right with God. It wasn't right against you. And right there and then, brothers and sisters, I was able to pick the log out of my own eyes first. And is it easy? No. It's never easy for a person who wants to walk in peace to actually get the log out of their own eyes first. But I can tell you, if you're willing to take the log out of your own eyes first in a conflict, so many conflicts that we experience today would not have been the way that they have been. Would not have ended up in court, would not have ended up in a divorce, would not have ended up in different things if we only evaluate here first. The The next one is gently restore. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, if a man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. How can I lovingly serve others by helping them take responsibility for their contribution to the conflict? A lot of the times in a conflict, we just want to hear the "I'm sorry." But I like to go a bit deeper than that, because I want to know your heart motive. What are the root cause? Because if that person, if I go to the person and say, "Hey, you really hurt me by what you said a while ago," and whatever, and the person says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to," and whatever it might be, I get an apology, but have I dealt with the root matter that is in that person's life? Am I helping that person? Because some of us, we need help in identifying our blind spots. I do. And unless a friend comes to me and say, "Hey, Sean, what do you think about what you said a while ago?" I'm like, "I didn't think anything of it. So how do you think Brian reacted? Or how do you think he felt emotionally about what you said?" Well, I wasn't thinking what he was feeling. I just said what I needed to say, and I'm out of it. So as you go through the conflict, it's good to hear that "I'm sorry," and there's some kind of God coming back to the relationship. But that's not all, because if the person says that they're sorry, but they continue going around and doing it to other persons, that person is a threat to his own self. Right? And some of the times, that one person can also affect the entire congregation. Because all of a sudden, because they work with other persons and you didn't confront them about what they have been doing, they go to work, they do the same thing, people have the false view of who God really is and say, "You know what? I'm not going to do this church thing ever just because of one person." And I'm not sure if you guys say this in America too, but in the Caribbean, we say the Christian is a sinner's Bible. So a sinner will not sit down and read the Bible, but they look at Christians, how they live, how they walk, and then by that, most of the times they will say, "Oh, it's because of how you live." When I was working for Sprint, wasn't able to share God with my coworkers, and after I moved on from Sprint, probably a month or so later, someone called me and said, "Pastor, guess what?" That's how they call me. That's my nickname sometimes. "Pastor, guess what?" And I'm like, "You finally got a house?" Like, she's like, "No, no, no, no." And I'm like, "You finally got married?" She's like, "No, no, no, no." I'm like, "You're back in Kingston?" "No, no." I'm like, "What is it then?" That's probably about 3 guesses now. And she's like, "I became a Christian. And thanks to how you lived while you were working alongside us." So we are seeing that we go out not intentionally witnessing, but because the life that is within us is all for Christ, people see this light and they are attracted to it. So even as you hear the "I am sorry" and "I love you" and the handshake, you also need to challenge a person to go deeper with their inner personality. Right? Not only to leave it there, but actually to question the root cause. You know, I understand that you say you're sorry, and I right now, I totally forgive you, I love you, and stuff like that. But could we talk about what you say some more? Let's see what motivated that, how different one responds, so that you're actually helping the person as you resolve the conflict. You're actually helping the person to see that blind spot that they have, and you're edifying them. Right? The spiritual one should restore. The next G that I'd like to cover is the one, the last one, is to go and be reconciled. How can I demonstrate forgiveness of God of God and encourage a reasonable solution to a conflict? Now, you have, I'll be taking it my reference from Matthew 5:24, but you have some of us inside here that we believe it's okay to hold a grudge against somebody but still come at the altar and present our sacrifice. But like in Romans 12 verse, I think it's verse 1, it talks about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. So if you have a grudge, I mean, God wants you to still do what Matthew 5:24 says. Leave your gift at the altar, and ahead of worship, you're going to be reconciled. You know? And even the writer of James, he goes as far as saying, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And I would just say, even in the whole conflict, is that he's saying that, you know what? Work it out. Because all of us know what the next second holds, right? No, we don't. We don't. And it's a caution that, you know what? Before you go to your bed, make sure that things are right. Make sure that at least you're starting to process the whole thing, and you're trying to bring God the glory through your conflicts. And I want to remind you that forgiveness is a choice. I have coached people, believe it or not, as single as I am, I've done married counseling. I don't know why they came to me. Disclaimer. But I have had married couples come to me and they're saying, oh, but I don't feel like it. And I'm like, that's where you're wrong. Forgiveness is never attached with a feeling. And neither is Christianity. You know that, right? Because there's some morning I wake up, I feel like I'm not a Christian, but the devil is a liar and all his children. That was a joke as well. Snap, you're a hard crowd. So, forgiveness is never a feeling. At the point of you trying to resolve your conflict, you can never feel like, oh, it's time to forgive. That's the trap of the enemy to keep you in bondage, to keep you in unforgiveness. And I know some of the times people want to be very emotional, but I don't feel like it. Yes, you don't probably feel like it, but speak forgiveness and then go work on yourself. Because by the mere fact that you're not feeling like it or something is, that means that you have some layers of hurt inside of you that you also need to go work on. And I think sometimes, most of us, we have so many wounds from the past that when a situation comes up, we try to shield others away in unforgiveness because guess what? We have so many hurts already. And for those here who have hurt that they have been carrying around, God also wants you to give those up. One of the greatest things that I've come to realize is that forgiveness is never for the other person. It is for me. Because if I refuse to forgive, I am the one walking around with the baggage. And sometimes we see others who we have a grudge against. They're free, they're happy, they're buying one house, two houses, cars, and they're going on vacation, they're going on a cruise, and you're like, oh, how could he do this to me last year? And he's buying house, and no, God is blessing him, man. You're living in the past, you're bringing that baggage all around the world with you, and you're not helping yourself, nobody's helping you, and you don't want help. Forgiveness is always for you. It is never about the person who have wronged you. It's about you stepping into the grace that Jesus gave, and you're giving that grace back to somebody who probably sometimes is not deserving. When you say you're sorry, or when you hear somebody say they're sorry, it's not like you agree with what they did. You might not agree, but you know what? It's not about you agreeing or playing their God. It's about you releasing forgiveness and going and working on your own heart. And I must also say that forgiveness is not an automatic memory loss. So sometimes we forgive and we're buddy buddies, and it's not an automatic memory loss where, oh, I forgive you. What? Did you do me something? No, it's something that you will have to choose to do not bear a record. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, right at the end of that verse, it says, love bears no records. And what I do when I apologize, I say, and I choose not to use this against you in the future. That's my memory loss right there, my memory loss statement right there. I choose not to use this against you in the future. And I can tell you that there are times when another argument comes up again. And you know that, you know, sometimes you know something and it's right at the tip of your tongue right there and you want to say it, but you can't say it. That's what happens then again. Like, you're in an argument with this person once more and right at the tip of your tongue you want to say, you did this last week. And I'm like, I'm so tempted to say, but I'm like, you know what? I promise that I will not use this against this person in the future. So you know what? I'm realigning my mind to this current situation. I'm seeing it as a brand new situation right now. And I don't know for you, but for me, when somebody says, I forgive you, and then 10 seconds later, we get in an argument again, and they, sometimes it's about the light, and they bring up something way different that I did. I'm like, why do you do that? I thought we moved past that. Why do you do it? And sometimes the person who is on the receiving end of forgiveness really asks, did you really forgive me of what I did? Because it seems like you're still carrying that grudge. So, it's a hard thing to do, but I'm going to challenge you. It's the word of God, and that's where God wants for you to be, to not bear records amongst your brethren. I mean, if somebody's on a rampage and they're doing stuff over and over and over and over, they need to go see somebody who can help them. You know? They really need to go see a pastor or a counselor or a peacemaker. They need to go see somebody. I'm sorry. I'm going to help you get better. You know? But if it's a one-to-one thing, then you need to, once the I forgive you has been uttered, then you need to move past that mentally, physically, and emotionally and deal with every new case as it is right now. By so doing, we show God's grace to others. How many of us, when we sin, we see God saying, oh, you did that last week. Oh, you did that 3 seconds ago and you expect me to forgive you now? No, drop on your knees and beg. A matter of fact, God says that we should be forgiving each other 70 times 7 in one day. 490 times one person. I hope somebody doesn't sin against me 490 times for a day. Probably I'll do something I don't want to do. I get all Jamaican on him. Thank you. You picked that one up. One of the other things, when we say that we are sorry and we have forgiven, is we don't gossip about it. And you know what? That's something I'm still yet trying to walk in perfectly. Because sometimes people ask, so how did this conflict go? And you're like, you don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of it. And, you know, it's you're still working through your emotions too. So you're like, I'll just tell you everything, how it goes and whatever it might be. And my added comments and whatever it might be. But one of the loving things is also to keep it between you and the person. You went, you were reconciled, you're working on your friendship once more. Don't go around gossiping about it. And for me, I tell you, I'm still walking in this. I'm still trying my utmost best to see how best I can say, just dismiss, oh, it went really well. Thanks for your concern. Without giving the nice, juicy details that everybody wants to hear. You know, and that's a big part of loving your brother and leaving it right there. Yeah, and I just want to reiterate this point that whenever you have a conflict and you need to forgive, it's never about the other person. It's about your relationship with a loving Savior. I'm constantly reminded that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I hope this little sermon really blessed your heart. I'm going to turn back over to Pastor Tim. Stay right here. Question and answer time.
So I took comprehensive notes, which I won't read to you. They probably look a little something like your notes. You said to keep it between yourself and the person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push back. Mm-hmm. I have seen that most of us get so emotionally charged and hurt in the midst of a conflict that unless we have safe people to process the conflict with, the likelihood of our responding in a Christ-like manner diminishes. Would you agree with that and speak into that?
Well, one of the things I should have even said on that point is that most times for persons who are really emotional, most persons are emotional than others, it's all right for you to go to someone and seek counsel, make sure that somebody is processing your emotions with you,
right,
so that that person is bringing a level of grace,
right,
to what you're processing. So when it's actually time for you to go to the person, you have help in processing what you're doing. But after the conflict has been resolved, mm-hmm, then you try to not so much, as I said, chew on it too much.
Right.
So
that would be a distinction between getting counsel so that your approach is godly and
yes,
just straight up like just bleeding all over the community and dragging everyone down into,
yeah,
a stressful, anxious conflict. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the time, see, sometimes people don't care less if you're going through a conflict, right? That's true. So you've been in the office telling everybody, that's how he did me. And people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So
they shouldn't want to hear it. Yeah.
That's true. So even going to that one person, processing with them first, which is something I should have said in my sermon, going to one person, processing well with that one person first, and then going to that person.
Right.
So you're not all over the place.
One thing that I've done is if someone comes to me and it's clear that they are wounded and in a bad place, I will say, why are you bringing this to me? What is your plan to go to the person?
Yeah.
And if they come back a second time and they still haven't gone to the person, I shut that thing down. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. That's just, you know.
Yeah, for me, I try all the time to work with the heart. Because sometimes in discipling, I realize that people are hurt. Sometimes it's a parent hurt or a father's wound or some authority figure in their while they were a kid, they just really devastated them. And they come to me with already hurt, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it might be. And I look just a notch above what they're saying to me.
So you listen not just to their words, but what's behind their words.
What's behind their, and get to the heart. So many times I'm like, so tell me about your childhood with your parents. And as they express, you can see that, oh, there are hurts there, there are unforgiveness already. And this conflict, sometimes a small thing, but it looks big and blown out of proportion because they already have so much wounds and hurt.
Right.
So right. I challenge them now to go back to those places, seek healing from those places first, and then they would be able to better think through the current conflict.
How would you speak? I feel as I'm saying, asking these questions and or sort of sharing some feedback too, mm-hmm. It just strikes me how you said we all have blind spots. I don't feel like I'm even blind to my blind spots. Do you know what I mean? Like there's this voice in the back of your mind saying you're in the wrong.
Yes.
And you're just so hurt that you press on anyway. Anyone? Yes. It's like a kind of blind spot. It's not fully blind. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I just wonder if you feel like you're good at this conflict stuff yet.
No. I am still walking out these things.
That's so encouraging.
I am still walking out these things. My relationship with Jesus is a constant progress every single day. Because there are different areas in my life that I will work on. And when you feel that there's no need for the cross and you again, Jesus, thank you so much for showing up and telling me this conflict stuff,
right.
You realize the next step, you're back where you don't want to be.
Right.
So it's going to be every single day and so many times you think that you have this thing locked, you have it
down
perfect,
pat.
Down pat. But somebody comes along and ask you a question about how you responded, and you're like, I think I responded really good. But this person has another level of grace offering and say, you know what, I think probably your emotions were a bit off, and that's something you could probably work on. Or they start questioning about how emotionally involved you were instead of actually allowing your spirit to trump. And you're like, oh, that's a blind spot that I need
I
to
feel like
on.
I hear what you're saying. It's like, did I do well relative to what I wanted to say? Yes. Did I do what the Lord called me to do? Probably not quite.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a point about when you're seeing someone who's walking along and you brush their, I'm using my own metaphor here,
yeah.
You brush their shoulder and it's not a big deal and they act like you punch them in the face, right? So that's evidence that there's a deeper wound.
Yes.
And you said they need to seek healing, right?
Yes.
Or if that's you, you need to seek healing. Or if that's me, I need to seek healing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you seek healing?
One of the first things, once I acknowledge that there's a wound, coaching? Question asking.
Yeah.
So I pretty much ask the person, if they allow me, I ask the person questions that will help them to think deeper and more intentional about their wounds. And then I would say to the person, I would recommend that you probably go see a counselor, mm-hmm. because now you have identified. You have identified for yourself that this is actually a wound that you need to deal with, right? If the person is not seeing it, that's a whole different ballgame. But if they're seeing it and they can identify that they actually need growth after you have asked them a couple of questions, then sometimes I start a session with them and they go to their pastors, or I recommend that, hey, you know what? I'd recommend that you go to your pastor. Tell him that you have identified this and you want some help in getting rid of it.
I think conflict resolution is like, what's the word? It's like PhD level Christianity. It's like PhD level cross bearing and grace extending, and yet we're supposed to start it on day one of the Christian life. Like the day one of the Christian life is you receive God's forgiveness and you forgive everyone who's wronged you, period. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's day one, but it's PhD level stuff. So thank you so much for bringing this teaching to us. Was this as challenging and helpful to you guys as it was to me?
Yes.
It was very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you want to say a blessing over the church and dismiss us?
Sure. Well, what I would like to ask, is there anybody that would have a question? Yes.
Forgiving someone who has never acknowledged, okay, I'm not talking about just having an argument or a disagreement, but something that's really hurt, like me, say, and forgiving this person, and you know that you have forgiven that person, how do I say this? It's someone that you are confronted with over and over again. It's not someone that you can forgive and walk away from, but it's someone that you're confronted with, and there is never, from that person's point, yes, I did that, and thank you for your forgiveness. I mean, how? Because I often feel like when I'm around in a situation, I always feel like I don't want to be in that situation, yes. And so I avoid that. Because I don't want the constant conflict that seems to come with that, even though I know in my heart that I... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
I mean, it's hard because I've got somebody in my life that caused hurt.
No,
that I...
Conflict?
No, I have... What's that? I have forgiven him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love... But I have... There's no question in my mind that I've forgiven this person, but I just don't like to be around that person because I don't like to be... Anyway,
well, I have a very good video, or even a book if you're a reader. There's a guy called John Bevere, yeah. And you guys know him. Yeah. Talks about the bait of Satan.
We went through a whole Sunday school class on that.
Right, terrific. So sometimes what I will do is I pray for that person because. Like, I need to physically go and speak forgiveness to them. But also, I need to pray for that person as much as I want God to move on my behalf as well. You know? Pray for them. Bless them. Show them acts of kindness. You know, sometimes people around us... I mean, some of the times, us in the church, we are hurt. Can you imagine those that are without Christ who don't have the shield of protection around them? You know? So, it's like... Really showing them love. One of the things that John had said that the guy who offended him, and I mean sometimes we're expecting, and I see that with even with myself, that I'm expecting somebody to do this, and because of my expectancy, I all of a sudden take up a spirit of offense. Like 3 weeks ago. I'm administrating this camp. And we held a little meeting and we're asking everybody to be on time because we want to look like we're on a united front. The next morning, two of the persons, they didn't communicate anything. They came like when breakfast was closing up and I'm trying to close off the kitchen to get to my next thing. And I'm like, I took up a spirit of offense right there. And I had to ask God to please forgive me because I took up a spirit of offense against them for not fulfilling what was expected, you know? And I had to really ask God for forgiveness because that was a conflict between in me. That was in me. So I later on had to speak it out against the entire staff team. And I really just pray. For the persons, you know, and I can tell you right now, so many times you don't want to be around the person. I have a situation like that where I just don't want to be around the person. The person, like, he wants, but I have to also every single day get up and choose to walk in forgiveness because I know that the enemy would have me to look into the physical and see the person and don't want to be there and don't value him as a God person. Somebody who God made, But the Bible tells me, on the contrary, that the battle I'm fighting is not against my own flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers, the things that are in operation that I'm not seeing. So I have to be, I try to remind myself all the time that I'm not trying to fight this brother here who did me wrong. And yes, I've spoken forgiveness over him, and yes, I've done this, and yes, but at the same point in time, I don't want to be around him. Something still is, I would say something still needs to be done in that relationship. Where, whether it's you seeking a breakthrough, asking God for a breakthrough, where you show the person love, show him grace, show her mercy. And if, you know what? If you're doing 10% of mercy and grace right now, ask God to give you 20. So how you can really reach out to that person, that they can see a loving heart. Because sometimes, and some people are very hurt, and they will not have you even a block away from them. And that's probably what's happening in your situation. Make sense? So ask God for more grace.
And you said bless. Proactively do good to them.
Yes. Go out of your way to do good to them. Pray for them. Pray for them with all your heart. Fast and pray. Ask God just to break the principalities and powers that is in effect.
In these situations, mm-hmm. I think we're sort of missing the point here. Mm-hmm. When you have a conflict with somebody, it's both of you's fault, more than likely. You've either, one of you's done something and the other one's done something to upset that other person, and that other person did something to upset you. What I do in that situation is, I think, and my husband told this to our granddaughter one time, go to Jesus with it. After all, Jesus died on the cross for all of us. And he says, if you can't forgive, don't expect me to forgive you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about. Anytime I have a conflict with somebody, that's the first thing I think about, is what Jesus did for me on that cross. And what he said, that if I can't forgive, then don't expect him to forgive me. And that's how I deal with it. Yeah. Thank you.
But we that's a very good action step to have. But I would warn against that, not to be always overlooking, because you can overlook somebody's offense, but if the person is like a tornado going around and injuring other persons, and if everybody who he injures decide that,
well, that's true too.
You know, that person needs to be edified, he needs to be helped, and being that you probably were in the path of destruction, then probably you are one of the recipients that should go and say, hey, can we talk about something here? You know, just so that we're constantly edifying each other. You know? And I need people to call me out in grace. Just as though if I see a brother or sister stumbling, I would go and call them out in grace. I need others as well to do it for me, to become a community around me, so that we're constantly trying to edify each other and trying to push each other onto to a Christ-life like life. All right. So, what should I be doing, Pastor Tim?
Well, I was just inviting you to pray a blessing over us, and obviously anyone who would like to pray with you afterwards, that would be good as well.
Okay. All right, let us bow our heads. So Lord, we give you thanks for today. We just really glorify your name, God, for all the things that you are doing in this church, and in the lives of those who are members here, or even visiting, Father. Lord, I ask that you'll bless your people, Almighty God, with the courage to follow through with your words, Almighty God. I pray, God, that even as they are ministered to, that their lives and hearts will be transformed and set on fire for you. Lord, we ask, God, for the areas of where we have been wounded or we have been hurt, that your Holy Spirit will come and reveal himself to us so that we can seek healing in those areas, God. Lord. I bless this congregation, Father, for this week, that you will allow them even to be the light that somebody desperately needs, God, or the salt that somebody really needs to taste. So, God, we pray more truth over this congregation, more of you, God. We pray for a more anointing in this congregation, Almighty God, that people will seek you more, people will trust in you more, people will just go after you more and more, God. This we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for having me.